Okay, we are on the top of Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph, the two dots. Let's get started. The Amar Rebbe Zeira. So on the bottom of the previous Amud, we had a statement of Rebbe Zeira, something that he saw from Rebbe Yavohu. So about the Abati, and he wasn't sure whether he had lifted up his feet when he was swimming. So the because we brought one statement where Rebbe Zeira saw something about Rebbe Yavohu, so the Gemara quotes another statement, nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos, about what Rebbe Zeira saw that Rebbe Yavohu did. So about Rebbe Zeira, Ana chazise l'Rebbe Yavohu, shehiniach yadav k'neged panav shamata, v'lo yadana inaga ilo naga. Rebbe Zeira says that I saw Rebbe Yavohu when he was taking a shower, which, I guess more public bathhouses, there was a Beis HaMerchas in those days, and I saw he covered himself in the bottom, on the bottom and the front. Out of tznius, Rashi says, right? He was covering himself. And I don't know, inaga ilonaga. I don't know if he actually touched himself or not when he was covering. So Gemara says, what do you mean? Pshita ilonaga. Right? So for sure, he obviously did not. He was obviously just covered without touching the Tanya, because we learned, this quote at the beginning of the second parak in Nida, Parakol Hayad, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, Kala ochis ba'amma umashtin, kil mevi mabala olam. Right? One is not allowed to touch themselves in the front, males on the... you know, you're not allowed to touch. What's the Havamina that Rabbi Yavohu did it? You're allowed to cover, but you're not allowed to touch, because if you touch, maybe Mabul Olam. And Rashi here explains, because this is what's the Mabul. Rashi in the third skiing line says, Kilu maybe Mabul Olam, Shemischameim Ubalidi Keri. If somebody touches themselves in the front, so they excite themselves, and Balidi Keri. And that was exactly the sin, the Kilkulo Shal Dor HaMabul. One of the sins that the Dor HaMabul did was they were Moti Shechma Zera Levatolos. Therefore, this is, if somebody does this act, Ochis Ba'amas, so then we say it's like Kilu Maybe Mabul. So Amar Abaya, no. There still is a reason why there was a possibility that he wasn't sure whether he was touched or not. Why? Asa'u k'boleshes. We treat it like a case of boleshes. A boleshes is an attacking army. Tetzran, what's an attacking army? What does it have to do with this? Tetzran, because we learned in the Mishnah, boleshes shenichnas al-ir. If you have an attacking non-Jewish army that came into a city, b'shas shalom, chavuyos, besuchos, asuros, stumos, butaros, b'shas shalom, in a time of peace. Meaning they're not... They're not attacking right away. It's an army passing through, but they're calm and they would have time to do things. So when is Bishash Shalom said Chavios Pesuchos said the open barrels of wine, Asuros are Usur. Because we assume that we know there's a concept called Yayinesech, that if a non-Jew used to use their wine, certain non-Jews used to use their wine for pouring their libations to their Avodah Zarah, and if one is, they use that for that purpose, so that's called Yayin Nesach, and that's Usur Bahana for us. There's something called Stam Yenim also, that the Chazal said that, even if they're not Menasech Yayin nowadays, if a non-Jew touches open wine, uncooked open wine, then it's Usur for us. That's why most wines that we have nowadays in our house are cooked. So they have Yain Mavushal, almost all of them. But once in a while, you have some fancy wines that I think Keta makes one that's not Mavushal. But what? 50-50 today. Now it's 50-50? Because I remember in the past it was more than a Mavushal. But again, if somebody has non-Mavushal wine in their house, they have to be very careful. If you leave it in the fridge and it's open and you have a non-Jewish cleaning lady that's in the house by themselves, it's a very serious issue. I have one Rebbe that is machmer like the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't use Mavushal wine for Kiddush. So he's machmer for that Rambam to have one bottle of non-Mavushal wine, but he has a safe in his house. And he locks it up. He locks it up when he's finished with it. He takes it out every Friday night, and that's it. That doesn't get into problems, because even if a non-Jewish woman or anybody just moves it in the fridge, or even if you're not sure if they moved it, it could be a serious issue if it's not Mavushal. Mavushal, you don't have any problems. But anyway, so says the... With the background of that halacha, says the Mishnah, that's quoted here, so boleshes, if you have this attacking army, if they come b'shas shalom, at a time when it's peaceful, and they're not rushed for time, so the open barrels, asuros, because we assume that they use them lanasech, stumos, mutaros, but if they're sasim, if they're still sealed, then they're mutter, so we assume that nothing happens. B'shas melchama, but at a time that the attacking army is rushing through, at the time of war, that elav elav mutaros, that even the open barrels are mutter. Why? Because they don't have time to be menasech. They're in a rush. That's a hist. Alma, kiva to be'isi lo menaschi. What do you see from there? If a person is scared, if a person is rushed, if a person is asuk, he has other things on his mind, that he doesn't take the time to be menasech, to pour the wine. So hachanami, so we relate the similar principle to our case, even the bais lost in the herhure. So therefore here too, when Rabbi Avohu was in the bathhouse, because he's bais, because he's scared, because he's worried, because he has other things on his mind, we assume that even if he would touch himself in the front, it wouldn't cause him to be maharher. I have a hacha, my biasu. So what is he scared of? Biatusa de nahara. Right, they didn't have regular bathhouses. They were probably maybe a bathhouse connected to a river, or maybe in the river, taking a bath, taking a shower. And because of that, he doesn't want to drown. He wants to make sure that he keeps his proper footing. So therefore, it's possible that he touched and he wouldn't have been maharher. So that's why there was a suffix in Rabbi Zeira's mind. How Rabbi Avohu actually acted or not, whether he was actually nog or not, he still had that suffix because he would the principle of Rabbi Eliezer of Kala Ochis Ba'amu Mash. Kilo maybe Mabel wouldn't apply in the case of Biatuse. Tosas on top points out that the Rabbanan in Nida argue on Rabbi Elazar. They say if you're in the middle of your Osek, it's like, let's say when somebody goes to the bathroom, or when somebody Tosas says if somebody is the Rabbanan there say that if there's a good reason for somebody to hold themselves when they're doing what they have to do, so then one is allowed to hold themselves down there. Tosa says, maybe the Rabbanan there only argue where there is a good reason for somebody to hold themselves, but some to cover up for no other reason, so then they would agree with Rabbi Eliezer. So that's why we brought Rabbi Eliezer here without a das hacholekes. But anyway, the Gemara here says, maybe Rabbi Eliezer doesn't apply because this is a case of Yatuse, that he is scared and he is worried. So Gemara says, one second, Aini, even without that, we have another problem. How could there be a havamina that he was naga in the Nugget in that Oso Makom. Amar Rav Yav, Amar Rav Hun, Amar Rav, Kol HaMiniach Yadav Kineget Panav Shal Mazik, Yilu Kofar Barbizu Shal Avar Mavinu. Even without Nugget, the Mepharshim say, you still have a problem. If somebody covers up, Miniach Panav, covers up their bris, their Oso Makom, so it's as if you're being Kofar Barbizu Shal Avar Mavinu. You're not allowed to be embarrassed about a bris mila. Right? Pirkei Avos, it talks about Moshe Charlaso. But here it says, you're not allowed to cover it up. So how could he, even without Naga, how could he cover himself? So Lokasha, the Gemara says, no, there's counter pressure here. Ha ki nachas, ha ki salik. There's a difference between when he was going down to the river and when he's coming up from the river. When he's going down to the river and there's nobody else seeing him in front, so then there's no sneeze issue, and therefore, if you cover then you're kakofer barisa shalavim avinu. And therefore, then one's not allowed to cover up, because there's no tzias issue there. But kinachis. But kisalak, when he's coming up from the river, and when he's facing the am, when he's facing the tzibur, so then, as Rashi here explains, that's a tzias issue, and therefore it would not be considered kofer barisa shalavim avinu if somebody covers up in that regard. Kihaj, similar cases, what other Amoraim did to for tzvius purposes. Kiha to Rava Shachi. Rava used to bend down as he used to used to cover up a little bit. Reb Zeira would stand up straight because he was worried about Kofar Babriso Shal Avram Avinu. Rabbanan Debei Ravashi, Kika Nachsi Zakvi, Kika Salki Shachi. The Rabbanan in the Beis Medrash of Ravashi, when they used to go down, they used to stand up straight, again, because they were not embarrassed. They weren't, they didn't have to worry about tzidias because they weren't facing anybody. So they stood up straight because they didn't want to hide the fact that they had a bris of Avram Avinu. Kika Salki Shachi. But when they went up, Shachi, they used to bend down because that's when they were facing the Am and they wanted to act B'derech Tzidias. Again, bris mila is always associated with Avram Avinu. That's why we say Lachvis of Avrisa Shal Avram Avinu. He's the one who we relate bris mila to. But it's always interesting, I think we mentioned it in the past, is an important Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayos and Chulin. The Rambam there is discussing a number of mitzvos which existed before Matan Torah. Bris mila, Eiver Menachai, and other mitzvos. The Rambam says, let me tell you a yesod gadol in life. Anytime we have a mitzvah that was done, that we had before Har Sinai, we do not do those mitzvahs because of Avram Avinu. We don't dive in because of the Avos. We don't do Avram Menachai because of Bnei Noach and Avram Menachai. We don't do all of these existence, that's true. But Nitna Torah and Hischatcha Halacha. It's a lashon for the Gemara later on in Shabbos, which means the history of a mitzvah. There might have been mitzvahs that existed before Matan Torah. But the reason that we do mitzvahs is because Moshe Rabbeinu told us. And he gives a proof. He says, the Gemara that says, Taryag mitzvahs, Nemrul the Moshe Misinai. The Moshe Rabbeinu gave us Taryag mitzvahs. Tari. It doesn't say he gave us 607 with 606 with 7 holdovers from before. He gave us Taryag mitzvahs, meaning even mitzvahs that existed beforehand. That might represent the history of mitzvahs. But in terms of why we do mitzvahs, it's because of Moshe Rabbeinu. See, even though we say we relate Bris Milah to Avram Avinu, that's not the reason. The reason we do Bris is not because Avram Avinu did a Bris. We get messages of Hashkafa about Bris Milah from Avram Avinu. But why we do Bris Milah is because of Moshe Rabbeinu. He even used that. So the Maris Chayis and Brachos, that's what we quoted this. Chafav and Brachos, where the Rambam quotes both Tfilas Avos Tiknum and Tfilas Tmidim Tiknum. Both of those. And the question that Mefarshim asked, the Maritz Chai is there, and I heard the Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, you know, how can the Rambam quote both? In Hilchas Tefillah, he quotes Tefillahs Keneged Tamidim Tiknum, we daven Keneged the Karbanos, while in Hilchas Malachim, he quotes Tefillahs Keneged Avos Tiknum. So the Rav and the Maritz Chai explains that's the difference between the history of a mitzvah, where do we get hashkafic messages of a mitzvah? That's Tefillahs Avos Tiknum. But why do we daven Tamidim? Because Moshe Rabbeinu made up the Karbanos, and that's why we daven. So even though here the Gemara relates Bris Milah to Avram Avinu, that's not why we do Bris Milah, but that's just the Hashkafa, the history of the mitzvah, is Avram Avinu. Fine. Reb Zeira. So once we were talking about Reb Zeira, another story about Reb Zeira. Reb Zeira ha become mishtamet be Reb Yehuda, to boil the basic Laredi Israel. Reb Zeira wanted to make Aliyah, and he knew that Reb Yehuda was against, and therefore he tried to hide himself from Reb Yehuda. But Reb Yehuda was his Rebbe. So he wanted to go hear some shir from his Rebbe. But why was Rabbi Yehuda against it? Dam Rabbi Yehuda, kala olam mibavel Eretz Yisrael over ba'asei. Rabbi Yehuda says an amazing statement that anybody who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, doesn't say for anywhere else, but at least from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, he violates an asation. Amar, as it says in Yirmiyahu, Bavela yuvahu v'shama yiyu. You should go to Bavel and you should stay there. Right, and this is the major issue about what about is this dafka from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? The Meiri in Ksubis says specifically Bavel was the center of Torah at that time period. Torah, there was what Torah in Yerushalayim. I have his lashon here. He says shekol makom shechachma v'yiras chait mitzuyim sham. So that was the situation then. That's why you weren't allowed to leave. But then he says really Eretz Yisrael and Bavel aren't literal. He says, "Kol makom she'achachma v'yiraschei mitzuyim sham dino ke'eretz Yisrael." Shekomash amru lo amru el b'nei she'stam chutz la'aretz ein chachma v'yiraschei mitzuyim bali Yisrael. L'rov hatzaros v'ol ha'golios reshovim slam. Usually, golos are not associated with great Torah learning. Elim ken ayidei amal gadol v'tzar gilgul b'kol hatzaros v'ha'hisyashus mehem la'vodes Hashem l'sridim asher Hashem korei v'stam eretz Yisrael chachma v'yiraschei. So in those days, Bavel was the center of Torah, obviously the Talmud Bavli. Everything that we do nowadays is based on the Talmud Bavli. It's obviously possible for to have great Torah learning in Chutz La'aretz. Nowadays, obviously, there's tremendous Torah learning in Eretz Yisrael. But in those days, even with the Talmud Yerushalmi, I guess the Talmud Bavli, Bavli was the center of Torah, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda had this amazing statement about Kol Olam Mibavel Eretz Yisrael over Ba'asei. Again, there's a lot more to say about that, the issue of that issue, but again, we're going to continue. Amar, but that's what Rabbi Yehuda said. That's where Zera didn't want to show up and be seen by him. But Amar, Ezel v'Eshra minei milsa v'Esi v'Esek. You know what? I'm going to go here, Shir, and then I'm going to go. I'm going to leave. Azal Ashkechei to cup up to koi beibani. So he got there, and Rabbi Yehuda was in the bathhouse. V'kamar le'lishameh, and he heard Rabbi Yehuda tell his servant, Havili Nasser, bring me some soap. Havili Masrei, bring me a comb. Pischu pumaychu, open your mouths, so that the steam from the bathhouse could go in the afiku havla, and then, you know, breathe out and exhale, and then that'll be good for you. It's healthy to inhale and exhale. It's like a schwitz, like a sauna. Va'ashtu mimaya de bebani, and drink from the waters of the bathhouse. The yavetz in the back says we're not talking about the waters that they just used to wash themselves. That's pasul shaksu. You know, other waters of the bathhouse, you know, it's used to take a drink. So that's what he heard of Yehuda say. Omar, so he says, and actually we had this Gemara in Brachas also, one of the bathroom Gemaras about in the Chafs. So also Rabbi Yehuda, he came to the Beis Medrash and he hears this statement that he says the same exclamation. Die. Oh, if I would have only come to hear this statement, amazing. And the Gemara tries to figure out what's so amazing about that statement. What did he learn about this conversation between Rabbi Yehuda and his servant? So Bishlama, and we'll get back to making... to a point on the Another point in a minute. So Mishlamah, have you Nesser, have you Masrik? So I understand what the message of telling his servant, bring me soap, bring me a comb, Kamash Malan Dvarim Shalchol, Mutal Amr Balash and Kodesh. So these were Dvarim Shalchol. These were just Stam, Hedyot, simple statements. He just said, bring me a brush. But the Chiddush that he was teaching his student was that he said this in Hebrew. And the Chiddush is that in a bathroom, you're allowed to say content of Chol in Lashon HaKodesh. Lashon HaKodesh, even though it's Lashon HaKodesh, it has inherent value, but different than other languages. All other languages, the Bali Kabbalah say, all other languages, I'm not so well versed, but just this idea, even the Bali Nigla quote this idea from the Bali Kabbalah, that the Lashon HaKodesh has inherent value. Like when we say Shulchan, that is, this is a Shulchan inherently. When we say table, this isn't, we call it a table. It's convention, but it's not that this is a table. This could be a table. This could be in Spanish they say this is something else, and in Italian they say this is something else. In English, the fact that we call this a table, that's not inherently what it is. That's what we decided as people. We could also name this a fork, and it could be called a fork. We decided it's a table. It's a table. That's what all other languages aren't inherent. But there are convention. Masha'enki, when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh, it says the world was created in Lashon HaKodesh. It says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu named woman Isha, Kimei Ishlu Kachazos, because Hebrew is a language of inherent value. That's what we even say in, as Rav Nevenzal points out in one of his farim, we say, we're going to say tonight, V'romam Tanu Mikal Lashon. So we thank Hashem, Bachabana Mikalam, Ramamtani Kalashon. What's the big deal about the Lashon, the language? Bachabana Mikalam, Ramamtani Kalashon? No, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us a language of such value. Ramamtani Kalashon, that itself is tremendously significant, that the Lashon HaKodesh has that special quality. Right, it's even an issue of the Gemara. The Gemara says, I forgot where it is, but it tells a story about Yosef and Paro, how Yosef was having a discussion with Paro, and he got out of jail. And Paro knew 70 languages. And he starts testing Yosef in all these languages. He starts asking him questions in a different language, and Yosef answered back in the language that he was asked. And then Yosef asks Paro a question in Lashon HaKodesh. And Paro couldn't answer. And Paro says, Oy vey, I don't know what's going to be. He says, swear to me that you're not going to tell anybody. And Yosef says, okay, I'll swear. And later on in history, that came back to help him. Because when he wanted to bury, the Gemara says, when he wanted to bury his father, Yaakov, Paro said no, right? In Parshat Vayechi, there was a change of heart. All of a sudden, Paro says, no, I don't like you anymore. So Yosef says, so the Gemara, the pasuk just says, Yosef wanted to bury him. And Paro says, take your father back like you swore to him you would. Kasherish Biachas, the Mepharshim say, what do you mean? The Gemara asks, what do you mean like you swore? What is he so mean for? So, because Paro had said, no, you can't go. So Yosef says, but I swore to him. So he says, tough luck. So Yosef says to Paro, hey, if you want me to get rid of this shua, I'm going to get rid of the other shua. I'm going to tell everybody that I know one more language than you. Paro's like, okay, go back, Kasherish Biacha, like you swore. So you see, Paro couldn't get Lashon HaKodesh. He tried to learn anything about it, he couldn't get it. Why? Why couldn't he get Lashon HaKodesh? Why couldn't he understand it? So again, you see, there's some inherent quality to Lashon HaKodesh. Nowadays, you might say, oh, every non-Jew on the street knows Hebrew. Every priest. And, okay, in Achinami. But there's something different about Ivrit and Lashon HaKodesh also. There's something about it. The Gemara says, Paro couldn't understand it, couldn't learn it. But anyway, here, says the Gemara, that's all in brackets, but what's the Gemara talking about here? That even with that special quality of Lashon HaKodesh, you're still allowed to say the content of Chol in the bathroom. You're allowed to say, bring me the soap, bring me the brush, in Lashon HaKodesh. Didn't we have what yesterday? Right, in the story of what? On Amud Beis. Where? Amud Beis. On the Amud Beis. He talks about the Shemen. He says I learned three things in there. But the Gemara, it talks about teaching Torah in a bathroom. There he's teaching him a halacha. On Amud Beis, that's talking about a halacha. Here he's talking about a halacha. There he says, I learned that you're allowed to teach halacha if it's lafrusha meyisura. That's what the maskan of the Gemara was on the previous omen. Right, in Echinami, it's the same, that was the havamina there. The Gemara said that, if you want to say it was in chol, but there the Gemara says you're only allowed to say different chol, Lashon HaKodesh, you're not allowed to say a halacha even in Lashon Chol. In Echinami, so it's a similar case brought up. Different story. But the Gemara says, I understand that when he got excited when he heard his Rebbe say, bring me the soap, bring me the comb, he got excited because he was learning the halacha about Dvarim Shalchol, you're allowed to say in Lashon HaKodesh. Pishu, Pumai Chalafiko Havlanami. I also understand why he got excited when he heard him tell his servant, open your mouth, and imbibe the steam so that the some good goes in and something goes out. Kiddush Shmuel. Darmer Shmuel Hevla Mafik Hevla. Shmuel, who is the famous doctor in the Gemara, Shmuel says that it's Hevel. You take in some steam, Mafik Hevla. So then that takes out some steam. It's good to get the juices working in and out in the steam room. El Ashtu Bayit Bebani Mai Mal Yusuf. But what was the godless of the statement of drink the water from the bathhouse? What was he so excited about? Why is that good? Tanya, no, because that's also healthy. The Tanya, as we learned in a Braisa, Ocha, one of them is going to be that it's going to be good for you to drink the water of the bathhouse. A couple of things are listed. Ocha, Veloshasa, Achilas Odam. If somebody eats without drinking, he doesn't have any drink to wash down his food, so then Achilas Odam, that his eating is not healthy for him. Vizot Chilas Choli Me'ayim, he's going to get a bad stomach ache. If he or stomach intestinal problems, if he doesn't drink enough. We can understand that, right? Somebody has to you have to wash down your food. If somebody eats without walking dalaramos, the last thing he does, Rashi explains, before he goes to sleep. If you just eat and then turn over in bed and that's it, you don't digest a little bit, you don't move around a little bit, even walking dalaramos, not too much, 6 to 8 feet, right? Achilas markebis, then the food rots inside of you. Vizeo tchilas reach ra, and that's going to cause your body to have an odor if you don't walk a little bit after you eat. Hanitzrach l'nekavav, so those two don't relate to our story yet. Hanitzrach l'nekavav, if somebody has to go to the bathroom and he holds it in and he eats instead, he does not go to the bathroom when he has to. Domel l'taner she'isiku al gabi afro, he's like an oven that was heated with its own old ashes. Meaning you have something old inside of you which won't cause your the oven to operate properly. V'zot chilas reach zuama, that also will cause certain type of odor from zuama. Rachatz b'chamin v'loshasa mehen. So this is the one important for us now. If somebody washes and does not drink from that water in the bathhouse, domer l'taner shisigumi b'chus v'losigumi b'fnim. It's like a taner that was heated on the outside but not on the inside. Meaning you have to clean out your insides also. So you have to drink some of the hot pure water from the bathhouse. If somebody takes a hot bath and does not rinse off with cold water afterwards, similar to barzel, to an iron kli, that you put it into the fire, but he didn't rinse it off with sonin afterwards. That's how it's it gets strong, which we're going to have actually on Amud Beis. If you wash and you're not mesach yourself, you don't anoint yourself with lotions afterwards. Again, in those days this was much more common. So then it's like water al gabi achavitz, which is water on top of a barrel is it doesn't serve any purpose. Rashi says al sulav it stadav. It's on the outside, it doesn't go in. So therefore, if you wash and you're not mesach yourself, then the rechitza doesn't serve its purpose. Anyway, but you see from this brisa that one of the things listed is that you're supposed to drink the hot water when you're in the bathhouse. So that's what he learned. That's what he learned from his Rebbe, from Rebbe Yehuda, when he went into the bathhouse. That's why he was excited about that comment. Two ha'aras on this. The Sharmazan of Halacha, actually, of course, it's really the Yavetz in the back of the Gemara that asked the question, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, how could he drink something in the bathhouse? Right? What about a bracha? You know, you have to make brachas when you drink. That's one of the problems about drinking or eating in a bathroom or in a bathhouse. You have to make a bracha. So how could he drink and not make a bracha in the bathhouse? That's what the Rabbi Yaakov Emden asked. It doesn't really answer it. Oh, so very good. So we had this a little bit of this in brachas also in the parakesim of Archin, and that's what he suggests exactly, Josh, what you said. First, let's read the question. And then he says v'dilma lo chashiva l'shtia. Maybe it's not called shtia. Kivan she'ena el hasakas pnim. Since this is for medicinal purposes, so lav lo bay bruche. You don't have to drink. So that's what we said. Anytime when you take something just for medicine, you don't have to. If you take a pill, you take a drop of water with a pill, so then you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to take that, and you don't have to make a bracha on it. Again, we said you should always maybe usi loasi l'day safek. You know, sometimes we drink a little more water than we have to. It's always a good idea l'maisa to make a bracha beforehand on stam water. But you're right. That's the suggestion that the Sharm Mitzvah and Balacha makes to answer that question, and that is maybe this is all medicinal purposes. Even though it doesn't sound exactly so medicinal, like you're sick and it's a healthy thing to do. It's like drinking mineral water. So is that you're not going to make a bracha because you're doing something healthy? That's what it sounds like. So it's still a chiddush to say that this is the case. But again, that's the answer that he suggests. Okay, prevented it, but again, if something is a pill, I can understand that. But this is water. But again, taking a pill for medicinal purposes to prevent, even if it's not to prevent, whether it's to prevent or to cure, you wouldn't make a bracha if it's just the medicine. But let's say somebody takes a Tums every day. There's that flavored Tums. If you take a Tums every day, the post comes say you have to make a bracha. Ah, you're taking it for calcium, you're taking it for, but again, even if you take it for medicinal purposes, if it has a flavor or it's called ochel, then you might have to make a bracha. So here too, again, it's a chiddush, but again, that's the answer that he suggests. I'm sorry? Maybe he was drinking it outside in an ante room. Doesn't sound that way from the Gemara. It sounds like he's in the same place. He says, you know, bring me the soap, bring me a comb, open your mouth and drink the water. It sounds like it's all in the same place. There's also one. There's a statement, like we have all these things listed here. They're all quoted in the Rambam in Hilchos Deos, by the way, about eating and drinking and walking Dalai Lamas after you eat. And if you shouldn't hold it in if you have to go to the bathroom. So there's a Chafetz Chaim al HaTorah in Parshas Veschanan, where he's talking about the Chafetz Chaim says Mitzvah Shmiras Habriyas Gedola Hilam Od. It's a mitzvah to take care of your body, to do exercise, etc. Right? You still jogging beforehand? Excellent. Even on the weekdays when it's at 6:10. V'lo pam haya mitzvah l'chabos es ha-menoros b'yeshiva haya mitzaveh. Not once, right? We hear the story, we like think it's a folktale, but it says it here in the Chafetz Chaim al-Torah. Not once, more than once, he went into the Beis Medrash and closed the lights in the Beis Medrash b'sham u'cheres b'layla l'man yilchu ha-talmidim lishon, so that the talmidim go to sleep. Ki margala b'fumeh, he always said, ki gam zeh me'atzas ha-yetzer. It's the Yetzer Hara. He wants to say, oh yes, stay up an extra hour of learning. Let's see what your chakras is like. Let's see what your kavanah is going to be in the morning. That's why he was to get out of seder. Chafetz Chaim was tremendous. He says, seder, you have to have seder. You have to have order in your life. If you're going to go extra here and you're going to mess up in the morning, he says, you're going to lose it. That's why there are some that are against staying up all night shavuos. Most say that once a year, you know, just to show your mesiris nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if you're not going to learn as much the next day, but again, to have Mesiris Nefesh, to show, to make a statement about our Talmud Torah, so that's why the Minhag Yisrael came from, to stay up all night. But in general, the Chafetz Chaim says, you have to, he hasn't quoted here, but I also heard B'Shem Amro, that's the Pshat Mehashkivenu, V'Hasar Satan Milfanenu Me'acharenu. So, Hasar Satan, remove the Satan Milfanenu from in front of us. Okay, I understand that. Remove the Satan in front of us. What about Me'acharenu? What's the Satan doing behind us? Now, the answer is the Satan stands behind us and pushes us. He says, oh yeah, stay up more learning. Stay up, do this, do more and more. Let's see how this is going to affect the rest of your Avodas Hashem. So, says the Chafetz Chaim, he says, that's why you always have to be in control. And then it quotes the story that in the Chafetz Chaim's later years, Machmas Chul Shato Haisa Alicha Kashalab, walking was difficult for him. Hayamit Amit Bechozel Alechas Dalad Amos Acher Ha'ochel. Even though he could barely walk, he always forced himself to get up to walk Dalad Amos after he ate. L'kayim mashenemar b'shabes memalof ardaf. Be mekayim what it says here. You have to eat. You have to drink. You have to walk after you eat. And then he says when he was at the Asifas Harabanim in Ravna, I don't know where Ravna is. He says he ate. He ate supper in his bed. He couldn't even go to the conference, go to his actus. And after benching, he got up and he like took a few steps. He says, oh, it must be that I walked on Amos already. I was the only road design. I can't walk anymore. And then he went back to bed. But you see, the Chafetz Chaim, even he was very didactic, even on this brius halacha, that you always have to take care of your body. Yeah.
How is the person supposed to know whether he's staying up a half hour, if the Yetzer Hara pushing him, or he really could do it?
How is one supposed to know if it's the Yetzer Hara or he could do it? It's a good question. I don't. There's no really answer. It's based on experience. Somebody knows if you know that your chakras is going to be messed up because you're not going to have kavana if you do this. So then look at lemaisa our chakras on Shavuos morning leaves what to be, you know, desired. You know, we're not going to fool ourselves. You know, focusing on akdamis at 5 o'clock in the morning is difficult. So we know that. So obviously, all night, every night is impossible. But in general, so you have to know. You have to know. Again, certain many gedolim hardly sleep, and there are some people that need less sleep. There has to be a balance. You have to. Sometimes they say, oh, if you do it, you can regulate your ground and get used to less sleep. And it's difficult to know. Everybody is different. Everybody needs different amounts of sleep. So it's you have to try to do as much as we can in our Avodas Hashem. But we have to say when we have projects to do at work. And we stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning for 2 weeks straight, and we still function during the day. So we see we could do it. We see during our business season we could do it, right? So one of my rabbis once said that he always has a little yayush when people come back to him after 5 years of leaving yeshiva. He says, "Rabbi, I've never worked so hard in my life." says, why now you're working so hard in your life? When you were in yeshiva, you didn't work so hard in your life. He says, only now when you're at work, you're working so hard in your life. He says, what about, but that shows that we can do more. So again, it's a balance, it's a balance. Okay, Mishnah. Mul yur hagaruf, shosin imena b'shabbis, antichi avavisha grufa ain shosin imena. These are two types of kalim that the Gemara is going to explain what the difference is. A mulyar, even if it's shoveled, the ashes are shoveled out, you're allowed to drink, as long as it is shoveled out, you're allowed to drink from it on Shabbos. And antichi, even if it is shoveled out, you're not allowed to drink from its waters on Shabbos. So Gemara says, hechidami mulyar hagaruf, what's a mulyar? Tana mayim mibifnim v'kachal mibachutz. Rashi here explains this also, that it's a type of urn where the heating element, the coals, are on the outside. They're not directly under the water. So therefore, it doesn't get burning hot as much as other kalim. And therefore, as long as the coals are shoveled out, remember we had the three shittas at the beginning of the parak about how much garuf is, all or most, or just move it to the side. But as long as you do that, then it's mutter. But an antichi is a different type of kli, which is somewhat hotter. Rabba Amar Bekiri, today is what an antichi is. Rabba says it's Bekiri, which means we're talking about a kira, type of oven. So in the kira, and Rashi explains this, there were two little bate kibul. There was a receptacle where they used to keep, one of them had coals and one of them had a little thing for water. So that type of water receptacle got much hotter than the mulyar because it was inside the kira right next to the coals, and therefore you had to take even more precautions in terms of using that water on Shabbos. What's the problem? Why can't you use the water? If it's garuf, what are you going to do? Tosfos here explains, no, the issue is that the second half of Tosfos, Rabbi Parat, says the issue here, they used to use this water to mix with their wine. So if it was boiling hot, you'd be violating Bishul. That's the issue here. By the mulyar, it seems that it wouldn't have gotten as hot. So Rabba says that antichi is this receptacle in the kira. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Beidude. No, it's not in the kira. It's a Beidude, Rashi explains, is a two-leveled pot. Let's say you have a pot. Imagine another level in the pot, and you put the heating element on the bottom and the water on top. That's what a antichi is. So Gemara says, "Man d'amar beidude kol shekei beikiri." If somebody says a beidude, the two-leveled pot, is usher to use its water on Shabbos, surely a beikiri, because a beikiri in the receptacle in the kira gets the hottest. So that surely would be usher. Well, man d'amar beikiri, but the one who says it's the receptacle in the kira, avol beidude lo. They would say, if they say that's usher, but then they would say that the beidude would be mutter because it doesn't get as hot. Tani kavasi to Rav Nachman, a brisa that proves like Rav Nachman, which is the second opinion, the beidude pshat. Antich avavishe gruva k'tuma ein shosin imena mepreishin chushasa mechamemasa. Because you see, it says you can't use an antichi because its copper warms it up. So its copper with a beidude is a copper pot. So therefore, the Gemara assumes that this brisa is supporting Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak. Okay, two opinions in the Gemara. What an antichi is, two types of kalim. So now we get to the Mishnah. Very important Mishnah. Hamecham, this is the Kli Rishon Kli Sheni Mishnah. Hamecham shepinahu, a mecham, it's unclear what this means, the Gemara is going to talk about it. A mecham that was taken off, that was emptied, unclear what exactly, pinuhu, what were you mafane? Mafane means removed. Did you remove the pot? Did you remove the contents of the pot? That's what's not clear in the Mishnah. But either way, once you remove it, lo yitein l'tocho tzonei b'shvil sheyichamu, you can't put in a little cold water in order to warm it up. That would be cooking. Aval nosein hu l'tocho, but you could put into it. We don't know what that means. We just said you can't put cold into it. So what does that mean? We're not sure. O l'tocha kos, or you can put it into a kos, which is not the pot. That's a klisheni. Kedei l'afshiran, in order to make it lukewarm, in order to take the chill out. So the Gemara says, my ka'amar, what is the... How do you understand this Mishnah, this statement of the Mishnah? So the Gemara has two possibilities. Number one, Amar of Adar Bar Masna, Hachi Ka'amar, this is what it means. Hamecham shepina mimenu mayim chamin, amecham, an urn that you empty the hot water from it. Now you have an empty Kli Rishon. Right, a Kli Rishon is a pot that was used on the fire to cook with. Let's say you emptied out that pot. Let's say you have your urn and you emptied it, and now it's a burning hot empty Kli Rishon. Lo yitin l'tocho mayim mu'atin. You can't. You're not allowed to put a little bit of cold water into it, kedei sheyechamu, so that it gets cooked. That is bishul. That is bishul d'oraisa. Right, cooking in a Kli Rishon, even if a Kli Rishon is off the fire, is bishul d'oraisa. So therefore, you can't put a little cold water into this pot. Aval, what does the second line of the Mishnah mean? Avonosi and Lasocha, Mayim Merubim Kadela Hafshiran. But you ought to put in a lot of cold water in order to end up making them lukewarm, because then you're not cooking anything. We've said the level of Bishul de Araisa for Hilchah Shabbos is Yatzo Ladisbo, and if it's not Yatzo, there's no parallel of Machal Ben Drusoy in water. Water, right? Bishul is a significant, causing a significant change to an item through the medium of heat. So until water gets Yatzo Ladisbo, there's no significant change in water. So that's why it says if you're allowed to put a lot of water into the Kli Rishon, in order, ultimately, when it's going to get lukewarm, it's not going to get cooked. That's the first shot of the mission. So the Gemara asks, one second, hello, Mitzarif. Aren't you being Mitzarif? Mitzarif, me, is Rashi here explains that in the olden days, when they make metal pots, they didn't have like metal pots like we have. We buy a metal pot in the store, it's all done. We can wash it with hot water, cold water, you're not changing the pot. But in the olden days, when they used to make metal copper pots, they used to heat them, and then the final stage of the process of hardening them was rinsing them in cold water. After they put them in hot water, to be mechazik them, to strengthen them, they used to put them in cold water. That's the mitzarev. That's mitzarev. So the Gemara says, if, what does the Mishnah say? You're allowed to pour in a lot of cold water into the Kli Rishon, it's not bishul, so fine, it's not bishul, but what about mitzarev? You have this boiling hot pot, you're pouring cold water into it, isn't that strengthening the pot? And that's the malacha of Machlokas Rishonim, Rov Rishonim say Makim Apatish, that's Rashi, Tosfos, and others. The Rambam quotes is a toldo of Mechabeh, which is, we're not going to get into now what the Rambam defines as Mechabeh, but Rov Rishonim say it's Makim Apatish. So therefore, fine, there's no Bishul problem in the Mishnah, but what about Makim Apatish? Isn't there a Bishul problem with the first few drops? So you pour it in all at once. You shouldn't pour it in slowly. But if you pour it in all at once, you don't have to be worried about the first second. You don't have to go by milliseconds. As long as you pour it in all at once, then it's not a problem. If you're pouring again? If you're pouring a lot of cold water. You're not doing it to be masakin the Kli. You're pouring water in to make the water lukewarm. That's why you're doing it. And you pour a lot of water in at once. There is no, so it's not going to get cooked. There is no psik ratio of it getting cooked. The Gemara asks, though, but isn't it mitzareif? Isn't it strengthening the Kli? So isn't it makav epatish? The Gemara answers, no, don't worry, Reb Shimon he. Dabar davar shinim eskavin mutter. No, this is the shita of Reb Shimon, who holds davar shinim eskavin mutter, right? We've said in the past, the machlokas Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda, about davar shinim eskavin, which means I do act A on Shabbos, which might or might not cause act B. I drag my bench, which might or might not cause chritzim, cause holes to be dug in the backyard. So that is a machlokas. Reb Yehuda says it's aser. Reb Shimon says it's mutter. We pass on like Reb Shimon. So here too says I'm mitzari. No, it's Reb Shimon. It's davar shini miskavein, and that's why it's mutter. What's the kasha? Psik reisha. Okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Sorry. Could Sirif only happen once? Let's get to that right now. The question, let's deal with the question right now. The big kasha is, isn't this Psik Resha? Psik Resha means Act A for sure will cause Act B, and that's Aser to Oraisa on Shabbos. That's Chayev, that's not just Aser Midi Rabbanan. Even though that's not your Kavana. So the Rishonim say, it must be a case where it's not Psik Resha. I mean, obviously, Rosh Gemara wouldn't make sense. Right, look at Tosfos, the second Y line of Tosfos. Vitzarech Lomar, it's a big Tosfos, but don't be scared. Vitzarech Lomar, Delo Have, no, it's a very important Tosfos. We'll get to the end of it in a minute. Vitzarech Lomar, you think this Tosfos is big. Look at Tosfos in Yuma Lamed Dala Lamed Hey, which is the parallel Tosfos. It's two pages, one Tosfos. Amid Beis and Amid Aleph. It's huge. We're going to mention a piece of that in a minute. But look at the second wide line. Vitzarech Loma, Delo Havi Kipsik Resha, Sheyochel Leo, Shelo Yitzaref. The Psik Resha Moda Reb Shimon. Obviously, it can't be Psik Resha because the Reb Shimon is Moda Chiv Osa Daraisa. It must be not a Psik Resha. So the Tosfos doesn't say, so what's the Messias? What's the Messias that is not a Psik Resha? So if you look in the Ritva quotes, like the old Rishon, you have to say this. So he says, it must be a case. Kigon shahakli mitzurif harbe mitzchilaso. Like Stewie just suggested. It was already mitzurif. It was already hardened. So you don't know if this extra cooling cold water, you don't know how mitzurif it is already. So you don't know if this cold water will really help or not. So that's how it's not a psik resha. Fine. Says the Bir Halacha in the Mishnah Berurah. The Bir Halacha says, hey, one second. We know, some of us know that there's a concept called psik resha l'sha'avar. Or Suffolk Psik Resha. Who made this famous? The Taz made this famous. The Taz, usually in Psikresha, is what? It's a suffix about a future event. I am not sure if this bench is going to make holes or not in the Beged. I'm not sure if this is going to cause the light to go on when I add the hot water. I'm not sure. That's called a suffix. That's a Dabrashin and Miskavin. That's a Psikresha. It's a question whether it's for sure going to happen or not for sure going to happen. That's about a future event. But let's say, says the Taz, in the olden days, let's say you have a chest of drawer. You have a chest of drawers. You keep things in the chest. You want to close the cover of the chest on Shabbos. Says the Taz, do I have to be worried that there might be tiny bugs in this chest when I close it? I'm not sure if there are tiny little bugs in there, and I'm violating sud, and I'm violating tramping. I'm not sure. Right, so it says the Taz, that's called Psikresha L'Sha'avar, or Suffix Psikresha. Is that a Suffix about a future event? Usual Psikreshas are Suffix about the future. This is something about the past. I don't know. Do I have to check to make sure I'm not doing a Psikresha? Or not? Says the Taz, it's Mutter. Based on the tour, the Taz is Mutter. The Taz Paskin Suffix Psikresha is Mutter. So therefore, according to the Taz, if you're not sure if your light in your fridge is open, is on or not, let's say... Like, you can't say, oh, I forgot to turn it off, but I'm really not sure. No, but let's say you go to somebody's house for Shabbos, and you're not sure if they turned off, taped the lights on before Shabbos. It's a suffix psikresha. It's not a suffix at a future event. If you knew the mitzius, it wouldn't be a suffix. You just don't know if they turned off the light or not. It's a suffix at a past event. According to the Taz, that's mutter. According to Rabbi Akiva Eger and Yerodeya, it's usser. Right, so machlokas achronim, what we hold. So says the Bir Halacha, this ritva is a riot to the Taz, that it's mutter. Why? Because what does he say the psikresha is? You don't know how mitzurif it was yet. You don't know if it was totally hardened yet, and if your cold water being added is going to make it harder. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is a riot to the Taz. That Sarek psikresha should be mutter, because we say, this is called Davashim Miskavi, not a psikresha. L'maisa were machmer. L'maisa were machmer like Rabbi Kiva Eger and based on a Ramah in Yerodei Asim and Pei Zayin. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha says this ritva is a raya to the Taz. Okay, let's get back to what we're talking about. So the Gemara says, what's the Mishnah talking about? In the case where you add in a lot of cold water to the Kli Rishon, isn't that Mitzaref? The Gemara says, no, it's Rav Shimon, Gavar Shimon Miskavin Mutter. Maskev La Abaya, Midi Mecham Shepina Mimenu Mayim Tani? Does the Mishnah say a Mecham that you emptied water from it? No, it just says Mecham Shepinu Huktani. The Lashon of the Mishnah is a Mecham that you took off the fire. Not that you emptied from. So El Amar Abaya, the Abaya says a different shot in the Mishnah. Hachikamar, HaMecham Shepinu Hu. A mecham, an urn that you took off the fire. So now it's a kli rishon that was removed from the fire. V'yesh b'mayim chamin, and it has hot water in it. Lo yitin l'tocho. What is the pshat of the Mishnah? The following. Lo yitin l'tocho mayim mu'atin b'shol sheyichamu. You can't put a little water in it to heat it, right? So you're not cooking with the pot now. You're cooking with the water in the pot, right? That's a toldos eish. Stool so aser midaraisa. Aval nosinos l'tocho mayim merubim k'dei lafshiran. The same halacha, but we're talking about with water in it. You're allowed to put a lot of cold water in it, where the entire mixture is going to end up less than Yasol Adespo to warm it up. But what an urn that you emptied water from it, lo yitin l'tocha mayim kol ikur, then, according to Abaya, you can't put water in that at all. Mipnei shemitzaref, Rabbi Yehuda, he damar davashin imeskavin asur. Because like Rabbi Yehuda, who also davashin imeskavin is asur. So there's two different ways to read the Mishnah. Like Rav Ada, and it's based on Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon is having mutter for the Mitzarev problem, or like Abaya, Machlokas, about what the language of the Mishnah more sounds like. Amar Rav, who Rashi here explains, is in the world of Rav Ada. He assumes that the Mishnah is, you interpret the Mishnah like Rav Ada, Lo Shanu Elola Havshir. When do you have a heter to pour the cold water into the empty pot? When your kavana is to make it lukewarm. If your kavana is to do tziruf, so that's not called the davar she'ena miskaven. That's davar hamiskaven. If I have kavana to do a malacha, even if it might or might not happen, if my kavana is to do the malacha, that's aser. Davar she'ena miskaven is only if you don't have kavana to do the malacha. But if a letzarev is aser, Ushmol amar no, Ushmol amar feel letzarev nami mutter. Even if you have kavana to do tziruf, it's also mutter. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Letzarev lachanchi lemishari? Is tziruf mutter? You have kavana to do a malacha? That can't be. No, this is what Rav meant to say. Amar Rav lo shanu elashir lahavshir. You're right. You don't have kavana to do the tziruf in either case. But Rav still says, my only allowance is when you use a certain amount of water to make it lukewarm. And if you don't use the whole water, so much water, so then that's not going to be mitzarefit. That's part of the reason why I'm matzir. Aval shiel atzarif aser. But if you use so much water, that would be enough. Rashi says shemil uhu kulo, that you fill the whole thing up. So then that would be aser. Ushmol amar no. Afil shiel atzarif mutar. Shmuel said no. Even if you have a shear, if you use a shear that fills the whole pot up, which could be mitzarifid, it still is mutar. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel seems to be based on again though. Reb Shimon davar sheinu miskaved is mutar. And Rav would say, even within Reb Shimon, maybe I don't go so far. But says the Gemara, Lameimer de Shmuel Reb Shimon Sfirolei. Is this to tell me that Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon? That Dover Shemim Skavit is Mutter, Vahamar Shmuel, but what do you mean? We have another member of Shmuel, Machabin Gachel Shem Altechas Vershus Arabim. You're allowed to extinguish a coal, a hot metal rod in Vershus Arabim, Bishvil Shlo Yizoka Barabim. Right? Because people are going to get hurt, and you're allowed to violate this. So that people don't get hurt. Why are you allowed to violate? You're not allowed to violate Yisurei Daraisa just to prevent somebody from getting hurt. If it's an Issa Drabanan, we say you're allowed to. What's the Issa Drabanan here? So says, Rashi explains, Mefarshimir explains, that this is a Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa. Malacha She'ena Tzricha Lagufa means that, again, we had this discussion a little bit, how you define it, but let's say, different purpose than what was done in the Mishkan. That's Tosfos' definition. So what is, why they extinguish in the Mishkan? In order to create coals. In order to create something to use for heat. But if you're extinguishing something just to prevent from damage, you're turning off something because somebody just wants it dark in the room, that's a malacha shein tzricha l'gufa, and Reb Shimon holds pater. Not, right, that Reb Yehuda holds chayiv in that case, midaraisa, Reb Shimon holds pater. So Shmuel here says, you're allowed to put it out because it's only a derabanan, avalo gachelos shaleitz, but you're not allowed to put out a gachelos of wood. But says the Gemara, v'isakadaitach, sabar lak Reb Shimon, afilo shaleitz nami. If Shmuel is based on the sheet of Reb Shimon, we just said Reb Shimon holds like Reb Shimon, but Reb Shimon says, Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa across the board is going to be Pater. It's not going to be Asur Midaraisa. So what's the difference between metal and wood? What's the difference? So the Gemara answers, what's the Hava Mina here of the Gemara? We're mixing apples and oranges a little bit. We're saying, Reb Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon, Davar Shein Miskavid Mutter, but what do you mean? So why doesn't he hold like Reb Shimon here? Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa Pater. Because Reb Shimon holds both of those are not Asur Midaraisa. The Rishonim already jump on this. These are very important. We don't have time to read them, but there's the top Tosfos here, and the Ritva expands on it. Very important Lashonos. The Rishonim asks, what's the Hava Mina to compare the two things? These are two different ideas. There's a concept called Davar Shein Miskaven, Machlokas Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. There's a concept called Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, Machlokas Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. But they're very different topics. And the Gemara seems to say they're Hava Hatalia in the Hava Mina. So the Rishonim answer that it must be that in the Havamina we think it's all under the general rubric of Malachas Machshavas. Malachas Machshavas means you have a higher standard by Shabbos for the definition of Malachas. Therefore, in some general way, they are compared. But it is a very, very mechudash, a very not Pashat Havamina that we compare these two. Because what does the Gemara say in the answer? You're machalik. But Davar Shein Miskavin, Savalak Reb Shimon. Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa, Savalak Reb Yehuda. So you see, he could be... He can't differentiate between the two. But again, what was the Hava Mina? That is something that has to be worked out. Amar Ravina, Hilkach. Well, we have a few more things to say. Let's see what we have time for. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, Hilkach, once I see this, what I just said, that you could violate an Issa Drabanan for prevention of damage, Kotz Rishus Arabim, if you have a splinter in Rishus Arabim, something that could damage people, Molicho Pachas Pachas Vidal and Amos, you could walk with it less than 4 Amos in Rishus Arabim, which is an Issa Drabanan. We mentioned that in the past. At least according to most, Uba Karmelis Afilu Tuva. I did a Karmelis, remember way back when we discussed Karmelis? Karmelis, which is a Rishus Midrabanan, you can walk even more because it's only Usur Midrabanan. So based on this, we have a couple of Halacha L'maisa cases. The Ramah says in Hilchos Shabbos that if something you have a glass that breaks in your house, it's all over the kitchen, right? So that's Muksa now. Right, the pieces of glass serve no purpose. It's muksa, it's nolad, whatever you want to say. You're allowed to pick it up and put it into the garbage because it's dangerous. You don't want to have glass lying around your house. Even though it's muksa, muksa is isser drabanan, but it's an isser drabanan, and therefore you could violate isser drabanan in order to prevent sakana. Okay, either way, they would never go there. But makom zeh, but makom sakana, the rabbanan, that's the one that's behind it. But makom sakana, the rabbanan never meant their isser to be in effect. I saw the Shrem Sion and Balacha also quotes the case that sometimes comes up. Let's say on Yontif or on Shabbos, you have a burner on and the fire goes out and the gas is on. So is that sakana stafashas? Maybe, but even if it's not sakana stafashas, we're not talking about sakana stafashas here. To turn that off is at most, and what are you doing? The gas is coming out. So what are you doing? You're not shut. You're making the glass lower, but you're also moving muksa. right? The knob is moksa. But either way, at most you're doing is nisa drabanan. So again, there, b'makam sakana, not sakana safashos. That's for sure. Everything is mutter. But b'makam sakana, you're allowed to violate isurei drabanan. Okay, that's what we get from this lesson of the Gemara. Just one more ha'ara. I guess there's more to say on the Tosfos, but I guess we don't have time right now. But just right here, the Gemara says that Shmuel holds like Reb Shimon by Darshin Miskaven, and like Rabbi Yehuda by Melachos Yisrael Kalagufa. Just to jar our memories for a minute, all the way back on Daf Gimel in Shabbos, Shmuel said in the Gemara that there are three times in Mesecha Shabbos where Pater, which usually means Asim Yidrabana, means Pater Umutter. Mafis Mursa, Tsa Nachash, and Tsa Tzvi. Those are the three cases that Shmuel says. And Tosfos there says, why are these Mutter? Because there's only Nisad Rabbanan, which is pater, and therefore these are mutter in these cases. And there's a tzara. But Tosfos says, but Shmuel holds of Rabbi Yehuda by Malach Hashem Yisrich Lagufa. This Gemara he quotes. He says, Shmuel holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So how could Shmuel be the one who says mutter if he holds Malach Hashem Yisrich Lagufa's chayiv? So the Tosfos says, it must be that there he's saying, not according to me. If you hold like Reb Shimon, so then these cases are mutter. But of course, I hold like Reb Yehuda, Malach Hashem Yisrich Lagufa's. That's what Tosfos says. But we said other Rishonim wouldn't be able to give that answer, like the Rambam. The Rambam holds Malach Hashem Yisrich Lagufa's Chayiv like Reb Yehuda, while he also quotes Shmuel on the Daf Gimel, which is Pater Mutter. So obviously, he wouldn't be able to give Tosfos' answer. But this is just to chazer a little bit. Daf Gimel, remember the three cases of Pater Mutter, unlike all the other cases, which are Pater V'Aser. Today's shiur was the Zecher Nishmas Fega Rezel Bas Menachem Manish, and that Hashem Chag Sameach. Man, you gave it to me this morning, yeah. Man.